You're listening to UnConcast on the Georgia Podcast Network, featuring unconference sessions and other related discussions from around the Southeast.
In this episode, Phil Sellers leads a session called Podcasting 101 at Blog Savannah, an unconference which took place January 26, 2007 in Savannah, Georgia.
Company in Savannah called iTour Savannah, and what we do basically is use MP3 technology to produce audio tours of historic districts, museums, and historic sites. And once our tours are posted to the website, our customers download the tours for playback at a convenient time on iPods, MP3 players, or portable devices. So what we've done basically with iTour Savannah is create a convenient and unique way and fun way to explore cities and areas, particularly Savannah, Georgia, okay? I have some handouts here with some backgrounder information. So rather than get into all of that, I want to just jump right into podcasting and get the discussion started. I would like to introduce the whole discussion by telling you what podcast means to iTour Savannah and what podcasting means. A few years ago, when we started dabbling in podcasting, and I mean only 3 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago, it's nothing like it is today. Start there. People were tied up in code and XML and trying to figure out how to actually introduce podcasts into a website. And people like Adam Curry and Dave Weiner, who I communicated with oftentimes, had those same types of challenges. But things have progressed to the point now where by the time you leave after 55 minutes of this session, I really want somebody to really want to make a podcast. And if you can do it, you actually can do it today before the day is up. Now, let me ask you this. Who in the room is podcasting or has actually produced one? Okay, 2, 3, Burton, Diego, you've done podcasting. All right, is there anyone here how many people here want to know about podcasting with it in mind that you want to create a podcast? Okay, quite a few. The ones who are podcasting, I'm going to ask them to actually be part of our panel and discussion. So when we start asking questions, help me if you will, panel, and I'd like to get Diego to help us. Diego Orzuela with Evoca.com, a podcast tool company, which is a really neat outfit. You've got Amber and Rusty down here from Atlanta with Georgia Podcasting Network. And Burton Sauls, he's going to help me with my panel. Burton does a number of things. He's a new podcaster. He's a travel writer with South Magazine. And he also works and helps me with content development. So let's get the discussion started right away by asking, what is podcasting? Who knows what podcasting is? Not the panel. It's right over here. Speak right up. And who are we talking with?
It's a way of packaging mostly audio, although I don't think that you can do video, onto into an MP3 or any other format. We just mean as it first started going on to iPhone.
Podcasting an audio delivery system. I can't think of a better definition.
You're reading that off Wiki.
Speaking of websites, I want to let you know this morning to show you how what podcasting can be simplified. I got up this morning around 6 a.m. My cat woke me up, and I decided, okay, I'm going to have to do a podcast this morning that's pertinent to what we're doing. So I sat down at the computer, and inside of 35 minutes, we posted a podcast, which is on our site at itoursavannah.com on the blog podcast page. And basically what it does is talk about the history of Bryson Hall, the very building we're in, and takes you out into Chippewa Square, where we actually do a little mini tour of Chippewa Square. So you get a chance when you take a break to actually, you can download the podcast if you want to, if you brought an MP3 player, play it back. Or later, if you download it and want to just listen to it at any time you want, you're welcome to do that. So there's our podcast today. We're also using the Avoca to deliver that. A question right here.
The difference between speaking audio and...
You'll have to speak right up. Can you stand and ask a question?
Sure.
You don't mind. It's for the benefit of everyone.
Speaking audio and podcasting, you can download those kind of books as far as terminology among the industry.
Streaming audio, and I'm not the expert on streaming audio. That was a popular thing that came out several years ago when there were actually some business models designed around the whole idea that you could purchase a streamed audio system. And streamed audio is an online system of delivery. Podcasting came about when Dave Weiner and Adam Curry came up with a system where they could actually package in code itself, a tiny code that would deliver an MP3 file in a very compact way so that it can load it into blogs and websites. So streaming audio is a little bit more complicated technology, and it's died to death.
Yeah, it's much more complicated.
I don't know if anybody is really using it now.
What? Yeah, they do. It just requires that you stay connected to the server as opposed to the podcast, which comes down to... podcasts can be encapsulated and placed in various places, but for streaming audio, it streams. You have to be connected to the server. So a lot of online music and radio still uses streaming audio, and that's how like YouTube works with streaming video.
Sure.
Wow.
Okay, Burton.
Phil, about the difference of the two terms, time shifting and place shifting, two great terms I like, and that's a major difference between as well. Because like you said, you have to be connected to the server for streaming. You have to have the physical connection, but with a podcast, it's downloaded and it's native on whatever device you have. So you can listen to, for example, 8 a.m. NPR, any time of day, on the bus, anytime, anywhere. You can save it if you like it, if you want to do that. And you can set it to a podcast, you can set it so that it updates and refreshes whenever you say it. You can update every hour, or you can just update where the podcaster updates the podcast. But time shifting and place shifting are the real key things about that. Plus, it just works. It's so much easier to like an Evoca. It just works. I'm trying to break Evoca, and it works. It's there. It's easy.
Good point, Burton, about time shifting. And now some of the terms, let's stay away from the geeky part of the thing, just talk practical terms. Time shifting is really a simple concept. Like Burton said, I love my Nano. That is the only geeky thing I'm going to try to do today. I love these Nanos. When I drive to work, I like to gather about 25 minutes of podcasting, maybe 40 minutes. So I've got a little content on the way to work and the content on the way home. Now, why would I do that? When do most people listen to podcasts? That's my question. This is where time shifting comes in handy. Anybody? When do you think most people listen to podcasts?
While traveling.
Commute is one. And research shows, from what I've seen and what I've read, is actually most people listen to podcasts on their computers. But there is so much of a growth area of iPods, and people own iPods and devices, that commute's become a big thing too. Lou?
I think people are listening to podcasts while they're working. I mean, as an employer, our graphic guy is listening. He's multitasking at the same time. I mean, a lot of people are listening to podcasting. I mean, whatever kind of podcast, I think people also do it while they're working. I mean, and that's what nanos and that kind of thing allow people to do without interrupting their coworkers.
Exactly.
They're multitasking. can I ask you, how would you define the podcast of all the corporations that can dial into the podcast and, you know, download just the audio, you know, because most of them are audio, it's not really a video. They're dialing into the conference call, and then they're podcasting that conference call. How do you define
these
terminologies that you're using?
Well, podcasting, most of us who do any kind of podcasting begin to find the niche that we're comfortable with. And a lot of corporations set up, they have audio systems. Now that gets into another area. I look at podcasting, I always looked at it as either a news or an entertainment delivery system. So for me, I don't really, you know, I don't go into the corporate part of it, but there are companies that use it for that purpose. But the delivery of information with major companies, especially to a target audience, is why you do podcasting. So there are good reasons why even iTour Savannah does podcasts, because we found out that people who are likely to listen, the same people who are likely to listen to a podcast are likely to purchase the product that we offer. So it's a natural for us. Some companies and some enterprises, that might be a little stretch. You also mentioned, you brought in the thing about video. Sure, there's video podcasts that, you know, the terminologies differ. People use different terminologies like vidcasting, or you'll hear things like blogging, or, you know, a lot of expressions that describe the use of video too. And that's part of it. But podcasting to me means audio. Yes?
Almost every major company is now podcasting. They start with, of course, their quarterly financial results, but it's different. They've gone beyond just dialing into a conference call where you had to sit, you know, like dial 1-888 and then, you know, put it as a password. They are now podcasting it, and then you can download it and listen to it at your leisure.
Right.
But also, if they have any difficulty, any problem going on, MediaCom, a cable company in Georgia, has effectively used that methodology over the last month or two to get their message out. And then you can download it and listen to it at your convenience. And, I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Exactly.
Okay.
Time shifting is great. If you have, you know, and the trend in podcasting, what I've seen lately is podcasts that exceed 6 minutes or 7 minutes are starting to fade out. Podcasts that are 5 minutes or less, 6 minutes or less, are way more, they're listened to way more than longer podcasts, because people like to gather podcasts, and it enables a person to be their own program. So when I drive to work, for instance, I like to get one good little comedy podcast. I'll listen to 3 or 4 news sources, and maybe Slate or New York Times headlines or something like that. And when I'm driving home, I'm going to tend over to more of the entertainment-type podcasts. By the time I get home, I've really got a lot of information and a lot of fun, too.
You made me think of this when you said something earlier, but podcasting doesn't have to be spoken word. There are a lot of people that just put music up. It could be real music. And I have a question for the group, too. I've read this, and I've heard it, but I don't know if I believe it. But the question is, if you're doing a podcast, I could say, hey, this is what I'm listening to. It could be the Beatles, you know. Apple, let's say Apple, it starts with an A, doesn't make it up, not that I'd be listening to Apple, you know, too seriously, but there's no royalty involved with it. That's what I've heard. No issues with having to, you know, register it or anything, as long as it's a podcast, if it's not for profit, and especially, I don't want to get into how you can, like, put an interstitial on it, but is it true? I mean, if you do a podcast, and you have music in there, it's like, this is what I'm listening to.
Amber, what are you doing?
Do you want to talk about that? That's absolutely not true.
Well, I read it on the internet.
That does it right there.
Well, there are fair use laws that you can invoke. And my understanding, because Thomas was talking about this, is you can play the 3 songs in a row, but anything more than that can be from the same artist or album. And I don't actually know where to look.
I mean,
because I haven't produced a music podcast.
If you want to get a license and everything to do that, you can, but it's going to cost like $40,000. So nobody's going to do that. But there's also PodSafe Music. There's the PodSafe Music Network. There's Matt and Jim. There's all these places where you can go.
Good point.
If you're not like doing a thing where you're like, okay, this is what I'm listening to. I'm listening to ABBA. Here's a song. That was over the fair use. Well, if you just want some music, there are artists who produce music specifically to be used podcasts, and that's
where
the pod
saving you did. And I heard, even, I heard that was true, and I added, then someone said, if you're talking over it, if you use, like, have it as a bass track or soundtrack, where you just have the beat, and then you start talking, so that it can be copied and duplicated.
Okay, the issue here for people who are curious about podcasting, what happens is more than spoken word, oftentimes you're going to want to use sound effects and music or music beds, so attribution becomes an issue. Where I come from on it, I would err on the side of caution because at the very minimum, it would be wise to attribute published music, particularly if it's Capitol Records or Sony Records or anything that is any way connected to ASCAP or BMI. The last thing you want to do at 4 in the morning is wake up to the BMI Nazis knocking at your door and rallying you out of bed. So it can happen, and there have been cases.
Yeah, they will do it. They're coming after, 16-year-old kids doing that stuff, so they're not good. If you have a large enough target audience, then you really need to,
The good news is, as Amber said, there's a lot of music and a lot of resources on the net now that's free and royalty-free and everything else. So if a podcaster wants to be creative, there are a lot of sources out there. Rusty?
If you do a Google search for the keyword podcast fair use, the first search result that comes up is a good guide for what you can and cannot do.
There you go.
So
forget about that.
Okay, I've got a question because a lot of folks here are bloggers too. So what is the difference between writing for a blog and writing a script for a podcast? What is the difference?
Can I answer that?
Sure.
when you write a script for a podcast, obviously, it's up to everybody's discretion what they want to do, but really, you really don't want it to be written out in your visual form, because then it sounds like you're reading a script, and that's not what you want a podcast to be. Some people do it completely unscripted, and if they can, then more power to them, but most of us, especially starting out, need something to guide us, so bullet points, something. But you don't want to just script it out because then you sound like you're reading a press release, and that's not interesting. That's not worth listening to. If I'm going to read that, I might as well just read it.
So, yeah, maybe create a list of bullet points and set a certain amount of time you want to spend talking about each bullet point.
And then listen back and hear how many times you say, and cringe at yourself and say, oh, God, this is the power of editing.
That's exactly right. So good points on that. Show notes. There's some things that come into play when you get podcasting, and you only learn it after doing it a little while. It's like blogging or anything. Blogging has tools, and podcasting has tools. You use show notes are crucial to podcasts, and a show note is exactly that. It's basically either bullet points that are in copy that are included in the podcast as it's displayed on your blog site or website, or else the full show notes, the full copy. There are some situations where scripting works, and some people who've done scripts and animated people can actually can do scripts and have it delivered as it's very natural conversation. But that takes a little bit of work. But a person who's never done a podcast before, there are tools out there now that make it so easy to podcast, and the editing tools are free. What's required to create a podcast? Does anybody, not a panel member, but who wants to take a stab at what it takes to make a podcast? What equipment would you need? Anybody? Take a wild guess. Yes, sir.
A decent microphone.
A decent microphone. Okay, any other piece of equipment?
Editing software.
Editing software.
Basic input.
A way to get the mic into your
computer.
Into a memory system of some type or computer. Okay. That's it. Everything else is more or less gravy.
And I could show you, and I want to get, I hope we get some questions on it. You know that guy who's on the Geico
commercial, the guy who does the voiceovers for the previews you see at the motion picture theater. You know what I'm talking about?
And he has this real rich voice. If you want to create things like that, you use think studio gear like this. This thing has everything from opto compressors to parametric EQs and that kind of thing. That's why they call it the Ultra Voice Digital. You don't have to use this. In fact, this is the one thing you don't want to invest in a podcast, and I think Amber's right on that, because the more processed a podcast becomes, the more it becomes like the old thing that was out there years ago. You don't want that, so you could throw that away. Even mixer boards. What these things come in handy for is when you have multiple inputs. So let's say you had a couple of mics that you wanted to get into a computer. Really, you don't need these anymore because the software handles multiple tracks. And by doing tracks, you can basically create any kind of audio effect. So you really don't need that kind of hardware. So you're really coming down to microphones.
Microphones can make all the difference in the world. But most computers, a lot of these laptops right here have great microphones built into them. It's plenty to do a podcast with. So even a microphone or an external microphone isn't necessary. In fact, there are two. Yes, sir, Orlando, you got a question.
I'm from school, and my question would be, do you have to do this on a third system, like Mocha, or do you do it on your own website, or...
Okay, Orlando's asking, what do you need by way of, how can you create a podcast? You need specific tools to do it. You do need an editor, and editors are software programs. You can download Audacity.com. If you're on a Windows platform or Apple platform, Audacity is a great editor. It's a freebie. I recommend you use, and others who've experimented with it might have a different idea. Use the old version of Audacity. There's a new beta version now. If you're like me, you like to experiment with beta versions. It's a crash puppy. Just forget it. Use the old Audacity. You're going to come out better. If you're on an Apple, a lot of you use Apple's GarageBand. GarageBand is the makes it easy enough that a monkey could do a podcast. It is so easy. And you can come up with a great quality podcast using GarageBand. There are other products on the market too. Anybody else know some other software? Amber.
We use Audio Hijack Pro.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Audio Hijack Pro.
It's Audio Hijack Pro. That's an interesting...
It's not free, but it's really, what is it, like $30?
It's $30.
And it's good because it lets you record multiple tracks from your computer. So like when we do movie reviews, we can sit there and be recording us talking and then also play a clip, sound clip from the movie. And it's more stable than Audacity.
That's from Rogue Amoeba, is that right?
Rogue Amoeba, what a great name for a software company. Rogue Amoeba.
If you're going to get into podcasting, it's the best $30 you'll ever spend.
I agree. Yeah.
It's Mac. So, sorry.
That's a great tool to put in your little podcast, podcast kit. Yes, sir.
Speaking of tools, I'm trying to figure out the tool that we can use to do phone interviews.
Okay, phone interviews. That's a good question. Several months ago, somebody asked, since we're doing tours of Savannah, somebody said, why don't you, can you do an interview with John Barron, who wrote Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil? So we thought about it a little while and said, okay, there's got to be a way to do it with software. So we looked into it and quickly came up with the idea that we could use Rogue Amoeba's Audio Hijack Pro and use a Skype phone and hook the two together. And even though John Barron was in New York City, a local historian by the name of Dr. John Duncan from Armstrong Atlantic State University, I had to come over to my little studio in the bedroom of my house, a spare bedroom, and we sat there with two microphones and called John Barron on a Skype line, pulled the Skype line into Audio Hijack Pro, which is basically a mixing board, only done in a software way, tied in the two microphone inputs through software.
Actually, I use this tool right here. This is an Eddy Roll that has two microphone inputs, and it's a way to get a microphone into a computer. And we hooked up John Barrett, and the signal that came from John's talking on the Skype line was a clearer signal than our two telephones. And so it turned it into a digital signal, went back into Audio Hijack Pro. We edited a little bit of that and created a podcast and then posted the interview. It was a three-way interview. So do it with software where you can and use Skype wherever you can. The Skype delivery system is excellent. It's clear as a bell.
Walk Talk Radio has also got a way to call in if you sign up initially.
Which one is it?
Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. That's new to me.
They have a phone line set up for there. Pretty much anybody who gets an account with them.
Now here's something that's really neat. And those you hear, like the people in the room here are doing podcasts, and you hear the word Invoca come up. Invoca is a neat company. Happens to be based in Savannah, but let me tell you, Invoca's got a lot of stretch in podcasting all over the world. And Invoca has got podcasting down to the point, the gentleman here said, well, you need a microphone. Evoca's got it down to the point now where you can pick up a cell phone, dial the number, am I right, Diego? And create a podcast, and that little sucker is actually posted on your Evoca space, which is a social networking site. You haven't even touched a computer, and there your podcast is. Yes, ma'am.
Now, you mentioned Evoca, so you're putting it onto Evoca's, their website is hosting it, right?
They can, right. Diego?
Yeah, I can demonstrate how that works. What we do is we can create podcasts or record podcasts in several ways, but we offer four ways in which you can actually create. One of them is uploading the file, which is what Phil does. He creates the podcast on his computer and uploads the finished product onto Evoca.com. And I think what we do is we make, I think, the most difficult part very simple, which is the RSS feed, which you might want to talk about in a minute. It's very complex. We make it absolutely simple, but we allow you to capture and create audio in three ways. One is with your microphone directly into Evoca through our unique browser microphone, so you don't need Audacity, you can record straight in. Another way is through the telephone, of course, which I'll demonstrate right here, which is as simple as calling right into our phone system. We have phones in throughout the United States and about 10 countries worldwide. You just dial over a call, and you record straight to your telephone, which I'll demonstrate right here. Hi, this is Diego, and I'm at the Blog Savannah conference, and I'm demonstrating how to use Evoca and how simple it is. So as soon as I hang that up, I log into my Evoca account, and this recording will show up, as you will see right here.
Hi, this is Diego, and I'm at the Blog Savannah conference, and I'm demonstrating how to use Evoca and how simple it is.
So immediately this is converted to an MP3 file and is put into my RSS feed. So just as I demonstrated right here, in a matter of
30 seconds. Give them a round of applause. That is producing a podcast.
Really,
part of
my question
is
I think that's wonderful. And how would I, if I had a blog and I wanted to link that little podcast, is there a way to do that?
Yes, there are two ways in which we do this. The moment you create the Evoca account, we generate an RSS feed for you. So if you want your users to subscribe to your Evoca podcast, you can do it that way. But we also offer a copy and paste of HTML code for this player. So now that I've created this podcast that you've seen right here, I can copy the HTML code that we provide. You can plug it in, you can just paste it into your blog as Phil does, or your MySpace, or whatever else. And then a little player will show up on your blog, and you click on it, and it'll stream from our servers. And the last way, and the last form in which you can create podcasts here is with Skype, as Phil was describing, and also to answer the question about how to record a call. Well, first of all, the call if you have, if you're on a phone conference and all you do is add the Boca phone number to the conference as a three-way call, it can be able to record everything that happens on that call. So if, you know, if you want to record an interview, you call person A, you know, three-way call the Boca, and put them together, and everything is spoken, as soon as you hang up, it will become available on the Boca. But the final way is Skype, and this is a very important one, because Skype is... it's a very, you know, it's a very popular tool, and we are one of the very few ways in which we are solving this issue of recording conversations with Skype, and we will be offering some very simple ways to do that in the months to come. But you know, with Evoca, it's pretty much a one-stop shop for creating podcasts for the game.
Thank you. See you.
Other questions? We usually offer 60 minutes for free. You store 60 minutes, it's up to free, and then if you store more, up to 200 minutes to be charged for $1.99.
Yeah, it's extremely reasonable. And the reason I do, like, I use one feature of Evoca, and the one I really like the most is being able to uplink into Evoca. The reason I do that, I'm from an old school. I'm from a broadcast background. So I'm comfortable with the little studio setting, and I'm like a stickler on little things, and maybe this gets into more nuanced, detailed production. But have you ever listened, how many people have listened to a podcast recently? You know, podcasts come in every shape, form, or color there is, and some of them are done, some of the best podcasts are done in the most simple way, using the least amount of equipment, and some of the worst podcasts there absolutely are overproduced. So there's a little bit of everything. But have you ever heard the podcast where on the little microphone all the peas start popping? Peter Pepper picked a peck of pickled peppers, and those are called plosives in broadcast language, and it comes from having a microphone in too much proximity to where you're actually talking into the microphone. In other cases, you'll hear an audio signal that'll be garbled. It's like it's overproduced, or it's overamplified, or overprocessed. That means some kind of a volume control is turned up a little bit too high. It's what we call a hot signal. There's ways that you can get around this. And coming back to the Evoca, the reason I like Evoca so much is you're able to actually have a little player on your blog, it'll play everything. It's got a nice little volume control, and Evoca server happens to be one of the best ones around. The thing never fails. I've never seen it yet fail. Like Burton pointed out, he's tried to tear the thing apart. He can't break it. It's a great piece of software. But from the production end, the way you get around those little plosives, if you're using microphones, you use this little doohickey here. This is called a pop filter. Now it's a little screen. And this is different than those little foam things. You ever see those foam things on microphones that broadcast or drive you know, the weatherman or somebody outside in a hurricane's got a kind of foam covering? This is different. A windscreen is not what you want to use on a microphone. You want to use one of these. And that takes all those plosives out and gives you a lot cleaner sound. What it does is disperse the sounds signal from one side of it and disperses it across so it doesn't pop into the microphone. Now I invite anybody during this conference, if you got questions about the gear I like to use, I've simplified it. I've taken out most of all the mixer type things. The way I get my microphone, which is a Samson, this is a condenser mic, and I bought that on eBay, I think for $89. And I think I saw one the other day for $39. Samson actually has one now that has a USB connector. That's how easy it is. This is called a spider web or spider frame. And the reason you use that, if you're using a microphone stand, when you move this, that microphone doesn't make any noise, even when it's connected. So it's free. You're not going to get any external sounds when you're moving this. So the way I like to produce, and I admit that I'm more studio-oriented, but the way I like to produce is I have a larger mic stand, and I have my microphone coming down from the left or right. So I've got a computer screen in front of me, so I'm always moving my mic stand back and forth. And that's why I use this device right here. But like I said, there are microphones now that are basically USB connectors, just like this one. And it's something worth looking into. The company's called Samson. You're welcome to take a look at any of this. Questions? Questions? Yes, ma'am.
This is a quality control question. I want to be podcasting hunks of news conferences, speeches, and things like that. And I can see many crude ways of recording them.
Great. I'm glad you're asking.
What do you do about public speaking?
Wonderful. All right. There's two things. There are several things going on this very instant in real time. First off, Chris Helton in the back is recording what we're doing now. I've got a little body pack right here. And Chris, yeah, we're doing video and recording. I've got a little lapel mic. That's one way to record. This is Amber and Rusty are actually recording on a remote device. This is a Zoom H4. And this has got a full stereo and a high enough, what we call bit rates, to record a high-quality conference like this. This is a cavernous room, but this little devices like this solve that problem.
What's that called?
This is, all right, this is called an H4. It's by a company called Zoom, Z-O-O-M. Burton has he's going to hold up a device that's produced by a company called M-Audio.
That's a duffel bag.
Duffel bag.
This is made by M-Audio.
M-Audio.
I think M's mobile, but M-Audio, and same basic as this other device that Amber has. It's really lightweight. This weighs about as much as a key, so you can have it in your shirt pocket, stick a small microphone up here, and we can record all this. It's
Bird, tell them one of the projects we're working on now.
With audio touring, you mean? Or?
Yeah, that's a good example.
We're doing like a couple dozen projects. I just recorded some puppets and did a puppet interview. That was a lot of fun. But
by the way, Bird's blog is big bon ton.
Yeah, click on the ads if you feel like it. Although, I saw high gas yesterday, $1.99 gas.
I highly recommend you go on a barbecue excursion with Burton because you'll likely get it written up on his big Bonton website. It's a lot of fun. But anyway, we're doing tours. We're working on a tour in Charleston.
Right, tours in Charleston. Just one example there along the Battery in Charleston. Have this device with you. Amber, you might want to talk about yours, but the Battery lasts in 6 or 8 hours. It's better than CD quality. It has a mic. This device has a built-in mic. This one has an external mic. And also, I chose this one because somebody recommended it. They said that the ports alone are worth the price of the whole device. It's got 8-inch jacks, and you can plug a power condenser microphone into it. The Battery in this will power a condenser mic for over 3 hours. And so you can walk around and get excellent quality, and it's going to sell this to the TV station in the back of the lake.
This is full stereo, and you can do cavernous rooms like this.
And so
here's another device right here. This is the smallest one that I've seen. This is an encoder. It's a digital encoder made by a company called iRiver. Marvin Harry's got one. What's that?
This is an iPod.
That's an iPod with the new recording device on it.
Right,
I've got a Sony. It's got a little Sony. The iRiver, this is a digital recorder that records at extremely high quality. And what I would do on this one is hook up this teeny little tripod. I got this tiny little microphone that's like that. It records in stereo. I just hook it on a tripod like this. The neatest podcasting you can do is right from a little coffee house, set it up on a little cafe table, and plug this puppy into here, and sit down there with your latte, turn it on like I'm doing here, you get a signal on it, start it up, and basically I'm recording this session right now. So, and another source, if you want to write down another one, there's a company called Edirol, E-D-I-R-O-L, which makes an RO9, which I think is one of the best ones out there. I've seen it, and I'm kind of jonesing for one. You know how that is. So we sell a few tours over the next month or two.
I'll lease you mine.
You can lease me yours. So Eddie Rawl is another one. So there's about 8 or 10 sources right there for external recording. And why would you want to do that? Was podcasts are great if you can get out somewhere. If you hook up a little lapel mic and you've got a device, a hook to your hip, and as fun as can be to get out somewhere, do external interviews and be mobile with it. Yeah, that's one of the coolest things about podcasting. Other questions? One of the areas that Amber had talked about was the scripting, and I was going to show you a little trick that I've learned. Does anybody have an old computer with an extra monitor hanging around somewhere? Lots of us do. And I found a way. What I do with my extra monitor on that old computer is I hook it to my other computer, so I got two monitors. And what I set up on this screen is my software when I'm producing on number of tracks. Like I might have a little sound effect here. I've got a voice track going here. I set up a third track that might have some music in the background. But over here, what I set up is a software on a prompter. And I like prompters because not only can you put show notes here, but if you had a script, say you had a script, and there's some situations where you want a script, you set up a little, you do a split window and send your other window over to this computer, so you got a little program that's like a teleprompter, and it's all software driven. The one I like to use is one called Script Prompter. And what it does is give you a black screen with white letters that are about 16 points in a font, and you set the scroll device so it starts scrolling upward. So when you have your microphone set up here, you're watching your editing tracks on this side, and you've got a little bit of a, you've got a teleprompter in front of you. It's flawless. The little thing starts going by. It's all done by software. And it's not expensive to get that kind of thing today. You can actually get it online. Any of those things you get online. Other questions? Yes, ma'am. Oh, okay. Okay, Burton, questions you want to shoot out there?
I wanted to talk about equipment a little bit, but you answered something. I need to get a condenser mic, power condenser mic. Anybody give me one? I'm pretty tall. If anyone has any recommendations on that, I'll listen.
There's always eBay, too. You know, these auctions, I'm telling you, eBay probably has the biggest. Now, I've got boxes of electronic stuff, and I love to sell it on eBay. But there are people out there who can buy things for next to nothing that you can get started with. So go that route, if nothing else. All right, just to kind of, I don't know what kind of time frame we're running here. I wanted to touch on one thing as we wrap it up a bit, and that is how to monetize a podcast. The guy named Adam Curry, who's credited with starting podcasting several years ago, he was an old VJ on MTV. He lives in Surrey, England. He still does a great podcast. Adam Curry, you remember him from the MTV days. He was kind of like the godfather of starting podcasting. And now he owns a company called Podshow, and he does some really first-class podcasts. Well, the way Adam Curry made money out of podcasting was he found a sponsor. And the sponsor was called Senseo, and that's that company that makes those little pod, coincidentally, makes little pod coffee things where you plug in makes one cup of coffee. And he went a long time with his podcast as that only sponsor from Senseo. And one thing led to another. Now he's got a podcast empire with two or three partners, and I think he found some capital funding out in California that it was in the millions of dollars with one of the venture capital companies. So the question comes up, you know, how can I make podcasting work? The way we do it at iTour Savannah, we figured out very quickly, in summary, that people who are likely to listen to podcasts are likely to buy audio tours. And for me, it's not a big jump. For some companies, it might be a jump to introduce podcasting. If you own a company or you're operating a company, what you want to do is find out what people want to listen to. People get information in different ways. People read blogs. They love to read. People get information by listening. A lot of people get information by listening, and they only like to do that, and they have spare time, so they like to listen to podcasts. And some people like to use their eyes. They like to see the video and all the action, and they put it all together. But that's why podcasting has found a niche. Maybe it's not for everybody, but for the blogger, it's a natural, because first off, the blogger is accustomed to working at the computer and accustomed to communicating with others. And it's fun as can be, just like Drew introduced this morning. You know, do you ever read your own blog? You know, if I told you how many times I've listened to my own podcast, I'd be ashamed of myself to admit it. But you know what? Even if there are only two people who listen to it and really get a kick out of it, just like a blog, you can make an impact. And in our case, the podcast would be an essential part of our of what we sell. So, any other questions? If not,
yes, I've got one here. Look.
Can I ask a question? When you're asking what are people, Bob, what are people interested in listening to in podcasts? In other words, are you interested in listening to a press conference of some big announcement in the city? Does that hold any interest? Or is it just, in other words, instead of having to sit in front of cable and watch city council meetings, you could download a podcast. I mean, are you interested, or does it have zero value to you? I'm just interested in what people think. I mean, because I like tours, you know, those, that's a cool, fun podcast, and music and that kind of thing. And as I said to you, many of us in the news business have to listen to corporations, all their podcasts, you know, on their results or their problems, or their explanations of how they're going to solve their problems. Yeah.
I consult with people on many things. One of the things I tell people when they bring up podcasts, I say podcasting is actually the hardest to use to grab people's attention, because it has to be produced in such a way they don't zone out and keep their attention. Could you listen to something and do something at the same time and zone out and not really hear what you're listening to?
Exactly.
So the important part of it, and I'm not sure that it's cut out, is making sure it's developed an audience. So it don't cross all the boards that you just said, corporate, tours, music, movie reviews, and so forth, but making it, and I think we touched upon this earlier about the less than 5 minutes and making sure it's produced in such a way that you don't lose your audience. So that's kind of my feedback on this.
Well, and so your point is then that if there's events or things, then you're, as a listener, I think what you're saying to me is you're expecting us to edit it.
Yes.
You know, you can sit there and just kill yourself trying to watch, force yourself to watch city council on local cable. And, of course, you know, nationally, the FCC requires local cable companies to have X amount of public broadcasting, right? So those events are on there, but almost nobody watches it. I think what you're saying is that if we edit it and skip through, just got to the big discussion points, the big meat, the big goals.
Yeah,
that might be have more interest. Is that what you're saying?
Also, I've got a comment about that, about finding an audience. My hits on using the web tracker, my top four countries, number one and two every month is varies between Denmark and Norway. Number three is Australia consistently. Number four is the U.S. I don't know how that happened. I have some guesses.
It says everybody in Norway Skypes, everybody's connected. The country basically connected the country, you know, like the Al Gore vision of 92 or something that we all made fun of, but basically everybody is connected in Norway and Denmark. I mean, and, you know, that's where Skype came in.
Yeah, I worked with a guy, went over there, I knew some people over there. Somehow, I'm big in Denmark and Norway.
City council meetings and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Does anybody remember that show that was on for a long time? It was called Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah.
To me, one of the funniest podcasts to me would be somebody that's just waiting for somebody to take city council and then edit the thing. So you got the councilman saying one thing, and then you're doing the comments right after the councilman, like Mystery Science Theater. I think it would be a hilarious podcast.
I think if someone went on YouTube and edited the best of the day, because, you know, they're doing their version. I mean, in other words, there's so much content in the world of the web, nobody has time to look at it. You know, And just, I think anytime you're editing anything that you think is cool and regenerating it, I think there's an opportunity, because time is the precious thing, including your ears listening to a podcast.
Like Burton says, if you can imagine this in America, it's probably already been.
You have to live, deal with copyrights on YouTube.
True. That's true. Amber?
I just want to talk real quick about the city council meetings. We do a lot of podcasts that are politically related, especially on the local level. Personally, I think that city council meetings, that kind of thing, are one of the best uses of podcasts, and it's currently underexplored. And I would disagree with the edit, because that's still somebody else making the decision for you, as this is what you need here, because I say so. Whereas with the whole Web 2.0 thing, it's about people deciding for themselves what they want to hear. And the difference between having that on a podcast versus on cable television is you have to be there at a certain time to watch it, but with a podcast you can download it later, so that gets people involved who might not necessarily otherwise have the opportunity to be involved with their local government.
Excellent point. So there are a lot of political ramifications of podcasts.
With MP3, you can skip ahead, too.
Right.
So you, if you get bored, you can go out.
Or two versions. I mean, as a news organization, I mean, I love your input. Because what you're really saying to me is I can give you the long or the short version. You know, those who really want to go through it and feel like we may have edited for a purpose you don't agree with, you know. But I think a lot of people find it very difficult to sit through and listen to a 3 or 4 hour.
Yeah,
you
can do both. I mean,
yes. Right.
All right, you know, the bottom line of podcasting are, I think 3 years ago there were 6,000 podcasts out there, and I think the last count is something like, I don't know if it is, I think it's 30 or 40,000 podcasts, and maybe more than that. I'm starting to lose count of the number of podcasts there are. And I was just looking at my little list of podcasts. The political is one category. I really like the cooking podcast. I love to cook anyway. So I listened to this guy who, he's the chef for Four Seasons Restaurants. He tells you how to make the most fantastic hamburgers ever. Just little podcasts that he does. I love to listen to his stuff. That's one of them. I like the, I'm an MP3 guy, so, and I love MP3 players. So CNET has a little podcast they produce called MP3 Insight. That's another one that's out there. So what you do, when you accumulate podcasts on these RSS readers, just like you do on a blog, and where do you find them? That's another question. iTunes, podcast directories, iTunes, Podcast Pickle, podcast directories. Amber and Russell, you probably have a lot of them. Where would you find podcasts?
GAPodcastNetwork.com. If you're looking for
GeorgiaPodcast.com.
GAPodcastNetwork.com. Yeah.
So there are a lot of sources, and what I recommend if you're going to do podcasting is experiment, you know, listen to a lot of them. That tells you a lot about how to do it as well. Yes, ma'am.
How, to get back to this political business, the city council meeting, how did you cope with the copyright and ethical questions of handling?
It's a public, there is no copyright.
So what do? You talk to Edgar and the mayor and you say, you
don't
have the right.
I don't need their permission. It's your citizen.
Yeah, no, but you don't want to travel over there, so as you say, I would like to podcast this.
I mean, if you
don't have to, if you want to. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to wear t-shirts. I'm going to wear a podcast.
No, 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 they want you to podcast. There's nothing, there's no bad exposure, you know. Yeah. I think the city would be very glad, and news organizations like ours, if they don't do that kind of thing.
This afternoon, one of the speakers is Scott Larson, who's city government reporter for the Santa Morning News. We're talking about blogging about city council, podcasting for city council. So it boils right into that.
In closing, I want to thank everybody for your attention on all this and participating. You've got some great questions. I'll be here all afternoon. And if you have other questions, I encourage you to come up and, you know, look at some of the stuff up here, some handouts. And I'll be glad to answer questions at any time. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
The song you heard in this podcast was Garden by Cargo Cult, available only on Magnatune.com. Thanks for listening to Unconcast on the Georgia Podcast Network. If you have recorded or are planning to record a discussion that you think would make a good episode of UnConcast, email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com to learn how you can submit it.